Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 63, and I am Libby, your host, and we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Josh from LA, and happy rapture, everybody.
We're not dead.
I'm not dead yet. And this is Allison, also from LA, and not raptured, but I'll be happy to take the stuff of anyone who has.
I've got my zombie apocalypse gear ready just in case.
You're the go-to guy, Josh. Yeah. The go-to guy.
Yes, I know where you live. I will be showing up at your house. All right.
I only have one cricket bat, so just so you know.
All right. For the news, it's a light news week this week. I think I reported that Fairly Legal was renewed at one point, but what I didn't talk about is they renewed it all in name. So they fired everyone. Like, the entire cast has been fired except for Sarah Sahi, who is the main character. But they fired everyone else, and the showrunner just stepped down.
So they're also getting rid of Richard Dean Anderson and his really, really small role in it.
He actually ended his arc when I saw it. So his arc was over in the first season.
Oh, I gave up.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very, like, I was sort of excited about it, but it was a very mediocre show when I watched it.
Yeah.
But I thought that Sarah was really, really good. So,
she was good, but there were so many other characters that I'm just like, ugh.
Well, and that's why they fired everyone.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that USA recognizes that she is good and they don't want to let her go. So they're, instead of actually making another show around her, they're
just revamping the entire show.
Yeah, they're completely throwing everything back to square one,
okay.
Getting a new showrunner, getting a new cast, and they're still centering it around her.
Okay, well, I'll give it another shot then.
I think so, too. I will do the same. I just think it's funny for the people who are not on the internet who come back to the show in season two and go, what's going on?
Yeah.
So that will be interesting. The other thing is that the CW this week started rolling out trailers for their fall shows, including The Ringer. So I have now seen the trailer for The Ringer. Okay. Have you guys seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it. How's it look?
It's basically Sarah Michelle Gellar crying.
That's pretty much
the entire trailer. It's like it's a scene of her starting to cry, and then they show a couple of little things that don't make any sense, and then her finishing crying.
So season six of Buffy.
That's what I actually was thinking. That I was like, why is Buffy crying? And I went, oh wait.
It's basically the Sarah Michelle Gellar crying fest.
Well, I'm sure the entire show is not going to be that, but it was basically the line was something like, I had to do it. I didn't have any choice. I was like,
It's just, you know, if you were looking for any trace of a plot or a clue as to what this was about, you were completely at a loss. It's just basically, if you like to see Sarah Michelle crying, this is for you.
I'm going to watch it anyway. I know I'm going to, because as much as I talk about how much I love Buffy, and I do, but I think I said at some point that Sarah Michelle Gellar is not the greatest actress in the world, but she's great at Buffy. So my thing is, I want to see if she's any good at this character.
Yeah.
So I'm totally giving it a
shot. I'm already going to watch it. I mean, that's
it's totally out of curiosity.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Do you have any news?
I watched the CBS upfronts. There were a few cancellations. The Defenders is gone, which, okay. Mad Love, the Criminal Minds spinoff, Suspect Intent. Yeah. Oh. Yeah,
those are like shows that nobody watched. I was like, what?
Oh, and Blank My
Dad
Says.
Was that on the air?
Yeah. Oh, the Bleep My Dad Said?
Bleep My Dad Says is canceled, too.
That's so weird, because that show started out with really high ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
I don't know. I guess people were like, okay, it's Shatner being silly, and then stopped watching. But I kind of liked it. Like, I mean,
I watched the pilot, and that was all I watched.
Shatner was far and away the best part of it.
Right.
But I don't know. I would have liked to have seen a second season.
I didn't like the son. I thought he was bland.
Yeah, exactly. And what I had heard was that if it got a second season, they would have gotten rid of the son.
Really?
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
Well, they have other characters, and let's face it, Shatner's carrying the show.
He's got these other hidden children.
I was about to say, the name of the show has my dad in it.
I know. But he's not the only son. There is another one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I saw some trailers for some of the new shows that are coming out this year, and the one that there are two that I like. One is a new sitcom called Two Broke Girls, which sounds terrible, and it's done by one of the people from Sex and the City, which already just sounds bad.
I was about to say, oh.
But The preview for it actually looked pretty darn funny. Like,
okay.
I gotta say. And also, it's starring Kat Dennings, who I have loved for years. She was, she was Natalie Portman's intern in Thor.
Oh, yeah, she was funny. I liked her tasing people.
Yeah. So she's one of the leads in this, and so that's sort of getting me in the door on that. The other show that looked really interesting is Person of Interest.
Okay, what's that?
First, it stars Michael Emerson from Lost.
Already in.
Yep.
I was like, done.
No, wait, there's more. The premise of the show is he is an intelligence officer who is putting a team together to try to figure out this strange conspiracy that could possibly destroy and or change the world. Mm. And the only clue he has to go on is one social security number. So, okay. It's Michael Emerson, world-changing event, and a sequence of numbers.
That's not familiar at all.
So, but apparently it tested, like, better than any show CBS has done in 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So,
of course, that's damning with faint praise, you understand.
Hey!
Just saying.
All right, let's get started talking about some shows. First up, we want to talk about last week's episode of Doctor Who. And what was the name of it?
The Doctor's Wife.
The Doctor's Wife.
And it was probably the best episode of Doctor Who I have seen in quite a long time.
It was, hands down, amazing.
Yeah.
Penned by Neil Gaiman.
Yes. Yeah,
that's very true, and he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I had, one of the things I tweeted about it was, The Doctor's Wife might replace Blink as my go-to episode to get people into Doctor Who.
Well, only thing about that, I don't think that works, because you have to know what the TARDIS is and the Doctor's relationship to the TARDIS.
Working knowledge
for that to have
TARDIS and its sentience.
Yeah, for that to have any impact.
I just thought the two of them played off each other so well. There was no way you couldn't get into it.
They were awesome.
I agree that it was fantastic, but the reason it touched me was through every companion that the Doctor's ever had. He's had hundreds of companions come in and out of the TARDIS over and over again, and he says goodbye, but the TARDIS is always there.
Yeah.
And he's always caressing the TARDIS. He's always flirting with the TARDIS. He's always, you know, there's always that thing going on. And then they...
Is it me, or has Matt Smith, since the beginning, just been a little bit flirtier with the TARDIS than other doctors?
I don't know. Well, Tennant used to caress her all the time. He's like, oh, you know, he would always... like.
Yeah,
he
sort of treated the TARDIS like a pet.
No, a little more than that.
I mean, remember also that conversation between Rose and Sarah Jane about how the Doctor talked to his TARDIS, kind of caressed his TARDIS. Mm-hmm.
You two want to be alone together. You
know, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't more like a pet, because he knew it was sentient, and it was like the TARDIS in his mind, and he would get upset if he couldn't feel the TARDIS in his mind.
Yeah.
And he was always... and he would call her old girl all the time.
Yeah, no, so, it's all true. I just sort of feel like
Smith has done the sexy thing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like he's been a little bit flirtier with the TARDIS.
He's like, my name is Sexy. He's like, that's what you call me. He goes, only when we're alone.
I loved that. But of course, my favorite line has to be, you rarely ever took me where I wanted to go. No, but I always took you where you needed to go.
Yes.
That is why Neil Gaiman is a genius.
Well, and that's the thing, is because the fans have always suspected that.
Right, right.
And so this is the first time it was actually said out loud. And he had this moment where I think he always suspected it too.
Yeah.
So it was a nice confirmation.
And I just love the idea that, like, we've always known the Doctor stole the TARDIS, but now we have this whole idea of the TARDIS stole the Doctor, which was so cool.
No, she's like, borrowing gives the indication that you're going to give it back. She's like, I have no intention of ever giving you back.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's great.
And of course, when she's going crazy in the beginning, when she's still like figuring out how to verbally communicate, she's like, biting is excellent. It's like kissing, only there's a winner.
That was fantastic. And I knew it was the TARDIS, like, the moment she goes, thief, I want my thief.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's the TARDIS. You know, like, all that was great. The actress nailed it.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
She was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, Saran Jones, she was fantastic.
I've never seen her before, but she nailed it.
I've only seen her in one other thing, and it was with David Tennant.
Doing what?
It was this miniseries called A Single Father. It's a complete tearjerker of a miniseries. Oh, yeah.
Was she the wife?
I don't think she was the wife. I think she was, like, the friend.
Oh, okay. I'm in the middle of watching that, but I started crying so much I had to stop.
You see?
I was like, I can't cry anymore. Oh, man. All right. Was there anything else that stands out in the episode, you guys? Before we move on?
There was so much that stood out in the episode, but we don't have enough time.
I mean, I thought, for what it's worth, I thought Michael Sheen did an absolutely brilliant job.
Oh, he was fantastic. He was so creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And, I mean, he never raises his voice. He never yells. It's always this soft, mellifluous, terrifying voice.
It was perfect.
And the games he played with Rory and Amy, those were pretty cruel. But
of
good.
Course, I gotta say, how many times do we have to kill Rory already?
Thank you. I mean, it's getting a little, it's gotten to the point where I just don't care anymore.
I know.
It's like, oh,
Rory died, must be Saturday.
I found that when I rewatched the episode, I fast forward all the Rory and Amy stuff, mainly because once you see it the first time and you get the tension and you know where it's going, you don't need to see it again. But the stuff with the doctor...
But there were actually some details that I missed the first time that I thought were interesting.
Like what?
When Amy comes upon Rory's desiccated corpse after he's written all the die Amy.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Amy. I'm like, Amy haters over the internet just punched the air.
That was awesome.
But, he saw the light before he died. Yay!
But I only noticed the second time around his corpse looked like it was angrily screaming.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm like, wow, that's interesting.
Well, it's all in her mind, but in a good way. So, I like the scene when they get to the junkyard and he goes, "Do you know what I'm thinking?" Oh, no. Who asked if they knew what they were thinking?
I can't remember.
But she was like, I don't think you're thinking what I'm thinking, but she's like, I'm thinking about my dead sisters and this is a graveyard of all their remains. And he goes, yeah, that wasn't what I was thinking. And she was like, yeah, you were thinking that you could build a TARDIS from all these pieces, which is totally impossible, but you're going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, that was all pretty good. And, best thing ever, we got to be in the old TARDIS.
Yes.
That was awesome. Like, mm-hmm. I started cheering.
Yeah, that was really great.
That was nice.
And what I love is that we established that she's archived every control room ever.
Yeah, including ones that he hasn't made yet.
Yeah, which just makes me think, okay, we can go to, they can rebuild any TARDIS control room and it'll work now.
Yeah, it was great.
I thought that was great. I love the fact that, you can delete and bring back and create new rooms, that they explicitly say that in this episode, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
And, of course, we finally get to see a part of the TARDIS that isn't just the control room.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if it is just a hallway still.
Yeah.
They haven't been doing as much with that, in this series as they used to do in the old one.
Yeah.
They just mentioned the pool and the library, but we never get to see it.
Yeah.
I think the last time we actually saw the pool was during the Tom Baker years.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was hilarious.
Whenever they went into another part of the TARDIS, it looked like an old hospital.
I actually really like the fact that the doctor made Rory and Amy's room have a bunk bed.
It's a bed with a ladder.
It's a bed with a ladder.
And they were like, "Can we have a bed? Can we not have bunk beds?" It was great. All right, let's move on to the next show, which was Game of Thrones, and this week is episode 5, so we're at the midway point. And I don't remember what it was called, but there was a lot of stuff that happened this week. And this is actually what's funny is this is probably the part of the book that I kind of remember the most.
Yeah.
So I was really kind of excited. A lot of good stuff happened. Well, not for necessarily the people in the story.
Not really.
They're not having a lot of fun, but we are.
Yeah.
I have to say the Clegane brothers, they know their swords, damn it. Those were some badass swords they had.
Mm-hmm. Who the heck are the Clegane brothers?
The Clegane's the mountain and the...
Oh, the mountain. Oh, yeah.
They just... when they started fighting out in the jousting ground, they just pulled out these humongous swords.
Well, what tripped me out is we were eating, and...
I already know where this is going.
And the mountain, like, chops off the head of the horse, and I was like, yeah, I need to put my sandwich down now. I don't know why we choose to eat during Game of Thrones. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, that is a bad idea, because there were some pretty squicky moments in this one.
Yeah, this one, oh my... And the thing is... I knew that the scene at the Eyrie was coming.
Yeah.
Intellectually, I knew it. But it squicked the crap out of me anyway.
Seeing him on his mom's breast. Yeah.
That was disturbing.
What also disturbed me was...
It disturbed me when I read it, but actually seeing it, I was like, oh, God.
Well, what was even worse is I had this break where I was like, that's a real child sucking at a real woman's breast. I'm totally squicked regardless. Like, I was like, you know how, like, I knew that wasn't a real horse getting its head chopped off,
but
that was a real child sucking on a woman's breast. And I was
sucking on a woman's breast. Exactly.
I was like, ew.
And even if it is somehow a prosthetic breast, it's still, it's like, how many years of therapy is this kid now going to have to go through?
And I was like, what mother wanted their child to be famous enough to do this? No.
Probably someone who is just like Lysa Arryn.
Oh, man. But that kid was so creepy.
Oh, my God. That kid was perfectly creepy. Oh, God.
Oh, he's like, can we see the little man fly?
Which was creepy enough when I read it.
Oh, that was great. One thing is we didn't get to see anything going on with the horse people.
The Dothraki.
Dothraki.
Yeah, they were absent this week.
They were absent last week, too.
No, they weren't. We saw them last week.
Oh, okay.
Because that was when she beat up her brother.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
But
a yay moment if there ever was.
But the thing that tripped me out and really got me this week was that moment when Stark realizes that they're in trouble. Like, he finds out his wife has taken the Emperor Tyrion prisoner. And he finds it out, and then he thinks he's in trouble with the king. The king's like, no, we want to go kill this. And he gives up his place as the Hand.
Right.
And he's like, we need to get out of town.
Right.
Like, that moment where he's trying to get out of town, I was like, go faster. Uh-huh. Go faster.
And then Littlefinger comes in. He's like, by the way, I have an essential clue to this thing you've been studying.
But the thing about the clue, it's not any new information.
No, but it does keep him in town.
Right. And I realized that moment, I was like, oh, he totally is manipulating him to keep him from leaving.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Which I missed in the book.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so when you're seeing it there, you're like, oh, he doesn't want him to leave, so he's giving him this BS clue. And then I was like, how the heck did Jaime Lannister know that they were at where they were?
Uh-huh.
And all
this,
like...
there's only one way.
Yeah.
I know, and I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. But he did tell him, you can't trust me.
That's true.
He did say that.
It's his own damn fault.
And that moment where Arya overhears part of the conversation, and then you're like, I felt like yelling at her. I was like, no, the details are wrong. Get the details right.
Yeah.
But then you're like, it's a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's...
She's a child who was already panicked because she's down in the catacombs and she doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, so I knew her details were going to be off, and he didn't have enough time to sit with her and calm her down and ask her... Because the answer was, like, right there.
Well, I mean, the other thing is Ned already knows that Arya is a very rambunctious child, so he's not really going to pay too much attention to what she has to say anyway.
Being rambunctious doesn't mean she's going to lie.
No, but it does... I always felt like his judgment when it came to Arya was a bit clouded.
I just, like, she has the answer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, she has it, she's trying to tell her father, but she gets the details a little mixed up, so the story doesn't quite sound right, and I was like, oh, so close!
Yeah.
So close, how...
You know, I gotta say, this show casts children so well.
They really do. Arya is, like, far and away one of the greatest casting choices in this entire show.
She really is. You know, I'm so used to really stultified child acting... Mm-hmm. And their kids are so natural. It's wonderful to watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Bran got to have...
Bran was great.
Brilliant. Yeah.
What was with the saddle and everything? And,
with the saddle.
And the sarcasm.
Yeah. I loved his lesson with the maester, whose name I can't remember. Mr. Lewin.
Lewin, right.
Like, how he's just like, This is this family. These are their words. This is their sigil. They live over here.
And he was like, I'm bored out of my mind.
It's like, I mean, any modern kid having to name all the states, you know?
Exactly.
It's just that exciting.
Yeah. It's like the only people fascinated by it are us.
Right. And he was just so bored, and he was like, I want to use the bow and arrow. And then they're like, well, if you can ride the horse, and you can shoot a bow and arrow from horseback. And he was like, really? Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, you sucked when you could stand. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, he was awful when he had his legs. Like, he couldn't hit a target anyway. Yeah, so I was just kind of like, yes, true. It's going to be.
So he can miss a target from horseback now, too. But it'll make him happy.
That's a way more badass way to miss a target.
That's true.
But it does give him a goal, so
yes.
There's that.
Yeah. So next week is the big episode.
Oh yes, making the little man fly. In theory.
Well,
in theory,
it's written by Jane Espenson for one.
Oh, then this is the episode she talked to me about many months ago. Uh-huh. So then I actually know what's going to happen.
And the title of the episode is a spoiler for anybody who's read the book. Not a spoiler for people who haven't.
Okay, I don't know what the title. Well, don't say it.
Okay, I won't say it.
I'll
tell you after we're done.
Okay, but that was.
It's right in the TV guide. It
got
me
excited.
On-screen guide, so you know.
It got me very excited.
All I know is this is my first time ever having a conversation with Jane, mm-hmm. and we squeed and geeked out about her episode for Game of Thrones. Because I had read the book, and she was very excited about what was going to happen in her episode. She was like, they gave me a great episode, and this and this and this and this happened. And I was like, oh my God, really? And I was like, oh, that's so awesome. And we just totally just had this total geek moment. I was like, that's the best conversation I've had with a celebrity ever, because we were complete nerds for like 5 minutes.
Nice.
And it was fantastic. Anyway, all right. So let's move on to the book. How do you say Borges? How do you say that?
Borges.
Borges. Well, I'm sorry. I was going to say it Françaises.
But it's like, Italian or Spanish.
All right.
It's Spanish, actually.
Yeah.
Hit me. We haven't talked about it since the pilot. What do you think about it so far?
Well, you've watched more of it than me, so you go ahead, Allie.
It's absolutely fantastic. I'm enjoying the hell out of this show. It really is just fantastic and tight, and the characters are well-drawn and very well performed. And I have to say, you know, you have to get through that pilot episode, because the first episode is not all that strong. It's like, yeah, another one of these, you know, costume drama things, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of slow. But once you get past that, it just takes off like a rocket, and it just keeps getting better and better with every episode. And the last episode that they had, which is the second to last episode of the series, next week's is going to be the final for this year, although it has been renewed for next year. So
oh, cool.
There's going to be a second season. Was just so good. It was just so brilliant. And it brought... Lucrezia Borgia, who up until now has been kind of like a little innocent fluff head, and no one's really been paying much attention to her in the brains department, and it turns out that she is possibly more cunning than anybody else in the series.
Oh, that's
oh, wow.
I like that.
And yeah, she completely turns it around and surprises you, and she's just brilliant. Brilliant in
awesome.
This last episode.
Okay, I'm gonna have to watch it.
Yeah,
so I think I'm like one or two episodes behind.
Oh, okay, that's what I was about to say. I thought you said you were watching it.
I am watching it, but I'm a couple episodes behind. But I agree. I absolutely love it. I love the design of it. I love the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
All the
it's
different
gorgeous to look at.
All the different aspects of history that are in there, like all these different little chapters in history that like I know about, but don't really know that much about, like Savonarola and. His whole episode in Florence.
Yeah, and see, I know a lot about Savonarola, and it was really exciting for me to watch them bring him in the way they did, and knowing where this leads to.
Yeah, exactly. I know where all this is going, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, so it was, now I will say that it is not completely historically accurate. There are things happening that are ahistorical in it, but not
uh-huh.
to a really tragic sense.
Well,
I mean, like... The character of the Sforza, who Lucrezia is married off to,
right,
was not a monster like that. In fact, they actually had a fairly good relationship while they were married.
Oh.
So he's been made to be really, really horrible.
Yeah, he is.
I guess make the Borgias look better by comparison.
I guess, but I mean, then you have like other Sforzas who are actually much nicer in there.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's been deliberately portrayed as being just horrible, and apparently historically he was not.
Okay.
But so you've got little things like that.
Yeah, and I like how they brought Machiavelli into it.
I love that, and I love the actor who plays him.
Yeah, he was great.
He's wonderfully intelligent and sinister.
Yeah, he really is.
He's just great.
All right. The next show we have to talk about, we have to get through these shows pretty quick now,
yeah,
is House, which was their penultimate episode. And this is one where House, they I feel like they're trying to one-up themselves or have House do one crazy more thing than the last crazy thing he did.
Yeah, but I mean,
that House was pretty House crazy. Over made the
me,
top.
House hasn't made me cringe in a while, but this one made me cringe.
Yeah.
I started cringing about 15 minutes in, and I did not stop until the end.
Like, even when they were, like, obscuring what he was doing to himself, I'm still, like, my imagination was just like, oh, God, ugh!
I mean, he was giving himself all this local anesthesia, but he's cutting into his own leg.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And you know, I like and of course, you know, after a while, the anesthesia, unless it's continuously delivered by an anesthetist, it's gonna wear off. It wears off actually very fast.
And he can't keep reapplying it because he's going into shock.
Right. Exactly. So I'm just watching this knowing how far south this is gonna turn. And I think I was holding on to my leg through the entire
And then I think it's hilarious that everybody he called, like, everyone had their phone on vibrate. I was like, literally? It's like no one has ringers on their phones anymore.
Yeah, everybody's got it on buzz, and they're all dealing with their own drama at that moment.
Well, what did you... and then, of course, he ends up getting... Cuddy is the only one who calls him. And I have to say, I now like the kid.
Yeah, me too.
Before, when they first introduced her, I was like, eh. But I like the fact that she likes House, and she tries to imitate him. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And like,
I love the little pirate cartoon.
That yeah.
Was you... Scallywag.
the soft porno pirate card.
Yeah.
Was that what was going on?
Yeah.
Yes.
The wench on the plank had really, really, really big boobs.
Huge Trexalene.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. But the other storyline was 13 and her drug-addled friend who... You know, I like the fact that it was dealing with not just her being in prison, but it was about her extreme behavior trying to deal with the guilt over her brother.
Right.
Like, that was pretty good.
That was cool. The stuff with Taub, I was just kind of like, ugh.
There was stuff with Taub? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I wiped that out of my memory.
Briefly turns into a stalker outside of
Whatever. It wasn't interesting. 13 was actually pretty good. I liked her calling Chase and... them having a conversation. As long as they don't sleep together, I'm fine.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I sort of feel like it's inevitable at this point.
I really don't want them to sleep together. One, because she was in a relationship with Foreman for, like, a year.
Yeah.
So that would be really awkward in a lot of ways.
It's like tasting and comparing all the various associates.
Because, well, then the obvious thing is that House is like, so when is it my turn? You know, it's like, you know... That's a really bad... I mean, dating somebody in the workplace is a bad idea in the first place, but...
Dating two?
Yeah, it's very bad. Anyway, all right. So, next week, I saw the preview. That looks pretty good.
Okay.
And so, I'm...
I didn't, but okay. Apparently... Oh, we all know that Cuddy is not coming back next season, right?
Yeah, I think that's terrible, actually. Apparently, they asked her to, like, cut her
salary.
Paycheck in half.
Yeah.
Really?
And, and she... basically told them where to stick it.
And
of course, she's phrasing it, you know, in very PC
I didn't hear about
phrases
that at all.
Of how she's looking forward to moving on and all of that. But really, they screwed her over. And how they could think to do that with a character that important to the show, I have no idea.
I really don't know.
Well, because they keep raising Hugh Laurie's salary, so I guess they figured it had to come from somewhere.
Yeah,
and that's
her?
Yeah, that's uncool for her to be like, no. Nah.
I mean, I could think of other characters I would do that to before cutting.
Well, yeah. That would actually explain how they're going to resolve, because I saw the trailer, I was like, how the heck are they going to resolve that? Oh.
Okay.
That makes more sense now.
Okay.
And that's depressing. Yeah. And I might be out of house.
Well, odds are next season is going to be the last one anyway.
It's definitely, from what I hear, going to be the last one. Hugh Laurie is speaking like it's going to be the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think all those guys are all friends, so I'm sure he's not happy about what happened.
Yeah, it's had a good run, but yeah, it's time for it to come to a close.
Mm-hmm. If they end this badly with Cuddy, I might be out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, because Cuddy's one of my favorite characters. So I didn't know that at all.
Oh, sorry.
All right. The next thing we want to talk about is the season finale of Castle, which was very exciting and very explosive, almost literally.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? I'm blanking. Oh, the
Montgomery.
Oh man, there was that moment when you realized that Montgomery is actually like the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. For me, that moment came like five minutes into the episode.
I kind of had my suspicions for like the last couple of episodes.
I didn't suspect him at all.
It was like sort of like in like off on the side of my brain, like, huh, wouldn't it be interesting if Montgomery was behind this?
No, I didn't think that at all.
Yeah.
I just was
But see, then he'd turn around and he'd do something that was totally, you know, super good cop. So it was just like, nah.
Yeah.
But in this episode, as soon as they started talking about, you know, the mystery third cop,
mm-hmm.
they'd immediately go to this close-up of Montgomery.
I know, right?
giving these dramatic hamster faces toward the screen. It's like, yeah, I think he might be the one.
I totally didn't suspect him at all. I was totally caught flat-footed.
What I liked about it was like he's such a good character and he's such a good guy that like your mind immediately goes, no, it can't possibly be him.
And they've spent
miss him as a character a lot.
Me too. Like
they spent a lot of time this season getting us to know him. So
yeah.
And getting us to know his family and all this other stuff, and then they're like, and we're not gonna kill
him.
And
to have him die in like a final stand saving Beckett was just so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I like...
Well, they had to redeem his character somehow.
Yeah, they did that.
Yeah.
And I like that Castle... everybody came to... Like, everybody was like, okay, Beckett's gonna get killed, and we need her to stop what she's doing. Castle's the only one who can do it.
Yeah.
So our father comes up and talks to him.
Yeah.
And everybody else.
And that was like the first time they'd met, too.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. We've never seen her father before.
And then, like, somebody else came to talk to him. And he was just like, really? It's me? I'm the guy?
And, like, even Montgomery's like, you need to be the one to tell her.
Right. And then he goes to tell her, and she's like, you're off my team. I don't ever want to see you again. And they both got all mad at each other.
What are we, Castle? We're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was.
Yeah.
That was
pretty good. That was brutal. That was good.
That was cruel.
No, but it was good drama because I didn't really believe her and I didn't really believe him. They were just having a fight.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and so then when she's like, I want Castle off the team, he was like, fine. And she was like, really? What? Wait, what? Like she didn't really she was planning on just going through the motions and she really didn't expect it to happen.
Right.
So then when it happened, she didn't know what to do because then she wanted to take it back.
Right.
So that because
like her whole thing is like she flips out and Montgomery talks her down.
And right, and he wasn't following the script.
Yeah.
So she didn't know what to
do. Just assumed this would be a battle she couldn't win, and when she immediately gets what she wants, it's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Well, she really didn't want him off the team, not really.
Well, of course not, but it's like, that's her ritual, is like, she doesn't want him off the team, but she has to flip out, so she flips out to Montgomery, convinces her to keep him, and then that last part doesn't happen.
Right, and then it's kind of like, oh, well, I tried to get you off the team, but I didn't, you know, she could say that to him. And mm-hmm.
So she can keep her guard up, but she still gets what she wants.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, that was pretty good. Like, I liked everything in the episode.
Yeah, and then the very ending. And
oh, I didn't see the sniper. Because I figured since we were at a funeral and we were burying her main character, I didn't see a sniper showing up and shooting her. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
It was totally out of left field. I mean, we know it's been renewed. We know she's not going to die, but still.
Well, you know, there's supposed to be, you know, a bigger guy over Montgomery
who
has yet to be revealed or caught.
Right.
And so, you know, presumably he's the one who sent the assassin. we can assume that that's what all next year is going to be about, intermittently.
Probably.
And I don't expect her to die. That was the only thing wrong with the cliffhangers, because, you know, it's like, yeah, she's not going to die.
Yeah, we know that.
She's not going to die.
Well, yeah.
But we have the big confession.
We have the big confession. And like,
yeah, and
that,
I would be
that
willing
is, that
bet
is
she
more...
doesn't remember it when she wakes up.
I'm willing to bet she doesn't remember it, but like, there, that's a more what if than is she or is she not going to live.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do have the defense of a traumatic situation, you lose your memory, like that happens all the time.
Right.
For people to lose that.
I mean, she had just gotten shot and was bleeding out, so.
Yeah
she may not
and
remember.
Chances are you don't remember things that happened immediately beforehand.
Right.
So, all right, we'll see. All right, next thing we want to talk about is the season, unfortunately, not the series, of Chuck. And this episode was more like, Sarah's in the hospital. Like, she's not in the episode, like, at all, other than she's unconscious.
Yeah.
And so Chuck is...
They had a few flashbacks.
Right.
Yeah.
So Chuck is basically spending the entire episode trying to figure out the cure. He teams up with... Oh, I have to say, the team up with Volkov, who's not Volkov.
Yeah. I can't remember his real
name. His real name is something.
Hartley or something like that.
Yeah. That was actually pretty good, because he was so cheerful.
I think Timothy Dalton plays a great bad guy, but he also plays a great doof.
it was pretty good. He was
screaming on the back of the motorcycle.
All that was, I liked it. I did like that.
I also really liked this this new CIA hitman guy who comes in.
Well,
to take them
that
out.
Guy's always playing a bad guy.
He is,
isn't
but he's...
he? I swear to God, it's his entire career.
He does, but he does it so well, and I really liked him.
Well, he actually played when he was younger. He did play a hero for a TV show, and after that TV show ended, he has done nothing but play villains.
Well, the other thing that I loved is he was in Firefly.
And as a villain, I'm sure.
As a bounty hunter, and he's the one who tells Jane his hat looks stupid. So in the scene where he's interrogating Casey, I'm giggling the entire time.
Does he tell him his hat looks stupid?
No, he doesn't, but I'm still giggling because I'm like, he's the guy who told him his hat looks stupid.
Everything about this actually is one of, I have to say, as much as I've been griping about Chuck, this was actually a really good episode, and it had the best ending ever.
Really? I was disappointed with it.
I thought it was great!
With Morgan getting
the
sack?
I thought it was great if that was the series finale. That would have been a really funny moment to end it on. But now we're going to have to actually
deal with Morgan.
A season of Morgan as the Intersect.
Yeah, and I don't know if I want that. I really don't want Morgan as the Intersect.
As of right now, that was an awesome finale because I was like, oh, that's hilarious!
I even predicted the last line. It's like, he's going to wake up and say, guys, I know Kung Fu.
I know Kung Fu.
Oh, okay. But it was still cool. I like it.
But, like, what I like is that now they're independent and they have all this money. They can do whatever they want. They can be for hire. I'm like, if they don't start next season with an A-Team reference, I'm going to be very disappointed.
That's pretty good. All right. Next show we want to talk about is the season finale of NCIS. And last week's episode with the whole body bag and Frank's being dead was really, really good.
That was way more compelling, I have to say, than
this week's
episode was.
Episode, which was about the blonde chick that I don't care about at all.
Which hopefully we'll never see again, because
yeah,
I think she's out of here now.
Yeah, she's leaving, but man, it was like, oh, she didn't get killed, she just got Saran wrapped to death. Well, almost to death.
And her neck got sharpied.
Yes, and then, oh, Sharpie. She's like, I have to get it off. It's a Sharpie.
Uh-huh. It'll come off on its own. She's like, and like, she's just totally traumatized and guilt-ridden over the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is fine and all, but it gets annoying after
a while.
Well,
the thing is, I have no emotional investment in her, so I don't care.
Right.
So the only
person in this show who seems emotionally invested in her at all is Tony.
Well, I mean, that's his girlfriend, so it makes sense, but... I was just like, I don't care about her. I don't care about her emotions. So we spend a lot of time with her, and because of that, I think the episode suffered. I'd rather we have spent more time with our people.
Yeah.
Like, understand that this is happening to her. Okay, cool, bye. Go off to the sides. Because basically, she didn't have anything to do, really, for the rest of the episode, other than steal something mysteriously from the dead body.
Right. Yeah, which, what was that all about?
It looks like a tracker.
I don't know what that was.
Thingy or whatever. Everything else with Gibbs and stuff, all that was good, but yeah, I loved too much time with her.
I love the scene between Abby and McGee in the lab. Oh, yeah. They are so adorable. Like, it just, it makes me sick.
Well, I do love them together.
Yeah. Like, oh. I don't think they should ever actually get together, but they are so damn cute.
They've already been together.
Yeah, okay, fine.
So, oh, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That was kind of like basically when McGee first gets to the team and first joins the team, mm-hmm. he starts asking about Abby and stuff like that, and he immediately, like within a few episodes, him and Abby are together.
Okay.
What was a mystery was why they broke up. Like literally, they're together for 6 months to a season.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they're not. You hear about they had a breakup. And I was like, seriously? It was off screen? Like, are you kidding me?
Okay.
So for some reason they have a breakup. We don't know why. And then, but then they have this tension between them for the rest of the show.
I still think they're adorable together.
Oh, I agree. I want them back together because they were great when they were.
And
they were,
you know, I can't be pissed off for spoilers because, I mean, it was a few seasons ago.
Right. So anyway, this episode was good, but just not as good as last week. So.
But, I mean, then we have the hook. At the very end.
Oh, only thing about that, also something you haven't seen. I felt like at the very end when they show Tony has been assigned to do some secret undercover mission to discover some mole, and obviously whoever the file is they gave him was somebody he recognized.
Right.
And I was like, oh, come on. Like, because in season four, which I don't mm-hmm. did you see season four?
No.
Season four, Tony was on an undercover mission to discover... Oh, it wasn't to discover mole, it was to follow a lead, but he had to keep the secret from the team, and that became a big deal, and then he swore he would never do undercover missions again.
Oh.
And cue the new undercover mission.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, seriously? So I was actually more disappointed, yeah. because I was like, we've already done this.
Yeah.
So.
Although, part of me thinks that the file he got was probably Ziva.
You think Ziva?
Yeah. Because didn't she have, like, a weird meeting with somebody?
Her boyfriend?
Her boyfriend, but...
It wasn't really a weird meeting.
But, you know, it was, like, one of those things, and, like, somebody who sees that in the wrong context could really misconstrue it.
Well, she told everybody where she was going, so it wasn't even a mystery meeting. It was yeah. more like, she's going to see her boy... The big thing that Gibbs doesn't like is that her boyfriend is a CIA agent.
Right.
So he doesn't like that, because people could try to get information from
right.
him.
Like, I my gut is that it's Ziva.
That's a good guess, because my initial guess was, I was like, is it Gibbs? I was like, oh, that makes no sense.
Yeah, no, it can't be Gibbs.
But yeah, Ziva makes more sense, because even though she's now a full agent, because mm-hmm. she used to be Mossad,
right.
they might not trust her.
Exactly.
So, Thursday. Okay, that makes sense. But still, Tony spying on Ziva?
Yeah.
Alright, next show we want to talk about is Glee, the penultimate. They go to New York next week, but this week was cute, soulful, depressing music.
And I absolutely hate Glee for this because they made me cry.
It was Call the Funeral, and it did exactly what it said on the 10, which mm-hmm. was we went to a funeral. Yep. And
it was a manipulation fest.
It was, and I fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh,
I am so
too.
Ashamed like, of myself.
Well, you have no soul if you didn't cry a little bit. I
yeah,
mean,
pretty much.
I went through about half a box of Kleenex.
Well,
okay, I wasn't that bad.
And
but...
I hated myself for it.
I know,
okay?
I'm like, damn it, you know better.
Well, the whole scene where Sue's in the cafeteria and she's talking about... You know, everyone told me that my sister was going to live past 30, but then she hit 40, and then she hit 50, and I began to think we'd spend our lives together, and I was like, oh my God.
But, like, there was a part of me who was just like, if Sue is making this up as some elaborate prank on Shu, I will hate her forever.
Right. Well, and that's why I thought it, it's just like, oh, is it a distraction? But, you know, then they go to the room, and they pack up the room, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah,
it's
like, this is for real.
Right, and there was a couple other little things that she did that I was like, it's probably real. But, yeah, like... Oh, and I really hate St. James, whatever his name is.
Oh, Jesse St. James.
Oh,
yes.
God, yeah.
I hate him a lot.
I didn't think he could get more despicable, but I was wrong.
Yeah, this was absolutely the worst he's ever done.
Anyway.
And, yeah.
With, so on the song...
Like, it bugged me so much because, like, all of the... auditions everybody gave were freaking phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of them. And he's just like, that sucked.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, because he's trying to help Rachel, but it seems so...
Yeah.
And I don't even know why Shu would let him be one of the judges.
I don't either.
Because he, like, first of all, you know what? My main call of shenanigans is Shu would never have done the auditions anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's my first call of shenanigans.
Yeah.
And...
The other one is he should have never let Jesse do this in the first place.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He should have never brought him on.
I wouldn't have trusted him.
Exactly.
And it makes no sense. So, from a story standpoint, the entire main plot is illogical.
Right.
But Glee is known for that. But mm-hmm. I just felt cheap and bad and thumbs down for that. The funeral was a good story. I was sad. And then the, what is the girl who's the cheerleader?
Brittany?
No.
Oh, God, what is her name? Becky?
Yes, Quinn. Becky. Yeah, it's Becky.
Quinn?
No, Becky.
Becky.
Oh, Becky. Oh, yeah. Oh,
she was
God.
Like, I got fired and she wouldn't tell me why. And I tried and I like belonging and oh.
Oh, that was heartbreaking.
That broke my heart into a million little pieces.
And I knew Shu couldn't let her on, because they were about to go, like, they only had, like, 1 week left.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I can't let you on the team with 1 week. He's like, next season, if you come out, I'll, you know, let you on the team totally.
Yeah.
But he was like, now is a bad time. And it makes sense, even though it sucked. And I know he felt like a monster.
I know.
telling her no.
But, you know, he did the right thing. Like, he went to Sue and, like, confronted her, and then all this came
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she let Becky back on, and then they had that cool hug, and I was like, oh!
Curse you, Ryan Murphy!
That was all that was good, but... So I'd say half the episode was good, half the episode was crap.
Yeah.
The songs were... Anytime they do show tunes, it makes me cringe. So even though Kurt sang great, I didn't like his song.
Yeah, his was the weakest of them all.
And what was
well, you know
his
what
pants?
The trouble with that particular song? Actually, that I feel horrible, but I have to agree with Jesse saying.
So do I. Actually,
it makes me think of better versions done by stronger actors.
Yeah,
it was very pretty to listen to, but it didn't have the kind of power that song has if it's sung by, say, Bette Midler
right.
or Patti LuPone or, yeah. You know...
Or Ethel Merman.
Ethel Merman or Angela Lansbury, you know, yeah. all of whose versions I have heard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, well, that's very nice, but it just... Yeah. It didn't rise to the top.
And him calling Mercedes lazy irritated me beyond words.
Yeah, because yes. she...
Knocked that song out of the park.
She completely yeah. knocked it out of the park. And Santana did a great one,
Oh, yeah,
too.
Santana's song
was
great.
They were great.
Yeah.
They were great.
Yeah, so, whatever. And I actually thought that... Rachel? Her song was okay.
Yeah.
And her crying and everything.
I am so sick of Rachel crying whenever she sings.
Yeah, and I was kind
of
like, well,
actually, you know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of her constantly doing Barbara Streisand imitations.
Me too. Thank you.
It's like, I would really like to have seen her do a song that was not an imitation of Barbara Streisand.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Like, I get that her character is supposed to, like, consider Streisand to be the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
But for God's sake, woman.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's the strongest singer. That's the thing that always bothers me. They keep propelling her as the strongest singer.
I feel
she's
like,
not.
I feel like Lea Michele can be a strong singer herself with the right kind of song.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't given it to her yet.
Well, the thing is, that's the key. With the right song,
yeah.
she's a strong singer. But there are other singers that are strong singers regardless of the song you give them.
Like Mercedes?
Yeah, Mercedes. Yes. I think Mercedes is the strongest singer.
Yeah,
no
question. Absolutely.
Anyway.
Although Santana is really coming into her
yeah,
own.
Yeah, Santana's gotten
oh,
much
yes.
better.
I'm really glad that they're giving her more to do.
Yeah, she's
yeah,
much
too.
Better than I thought she was. All right, let's move on. The next up is Modern Family. And this one, is it the finale? I thought there might be one more.
I think there's one more, yeah.
Anyway, so it was Graduation. And Jay got Botox.
Poor Jay.
That was so hilarious.
I just loved how, like, every scene his face just gets droopier and droopier.
Oh my God, that was like, wow. And he was like, oh, it'll go away, don't worry about it. They were like, he's like, I'm fine. I was like, I don't think you're fine. Oh, and then
and I can't remember who said it. I think it was Cam. He's like, you just look like you had, like, a bad reaction to Botox, which is ridiculous because you would never. And then they all just, like, one by one, like, you did.
Oh, and then Cam fall into the swimming pool.
Oh my god,
that was funny. I'm sorry.
It was funny. It was funny. They gave the right reaction.
Right, and he was like, "I can't believe you laughed." I was like, "Are you kidding me, dude?" Of course he laughed.
That was hilarious. Come on.
And the thing is, Cam would have laughed if Mitch had fallen into the pool.
Exactly.
It's not that big of a... He's like, oh, though I did like he... How
like,
he,
come on. One of the things you love doing is being a clown. How can you not understand this?
It's like, though I did like his explanation on why his part wasn't funny, but Claire and Phil falling down the hill was. Yeah. That was like a very clinical explanation of why one is funny and one is not.
Yeah.
That was all really good. And then Manny... was all like, me and Luke are going to be in high school next year. And then Luke is like, I'm trying to move the ball with my mind. And he goes, well, I will be in high school next year. That's great. Manny's like, yes, I'm sorry I'm in the same grade as this.
Well, it was awesome when like the gate finally opened and Luke was like, I just opened it with my mind. And he's like so insistent about it. Like, no, I opened it with my mind. Were you not watching?
Yes, way to go, Luke. And then, you know, it was just good shenanigans. It was good one-liners. I like it when the whole family's together because more stuff
happens. And I also, like, really like the stuff between Haley and Alex.
That's true.
Like, it was... like
I usually don't like them together.
Well, they've never really had, like, a heartfelt moment like this where, like, Haley really confesses, like, how stupid she is and how much it bugs her.
That's true. And then, oh... she called her a name. She was like, what was it? She called her something. And I was like, I don't think that's right. And
I can't remember
what it was, but it was so, it was like.
It was good. It was really good. Yeah.
It was the word was another word, but just slightly off. And so she basically called her a bug or something.
Yeah.
But it was, I can't remember what it was. Anyway, yeah. But it was, that was pretty funny. Basically illustrating the fact that she has no education.
Mm-hmm.
And I like her sister's. Giving her some advice about being popular. Mm-hmm. So, that was all good. Anyway, thumbs up. Good episode. Can't wait for next week. Next up, The Office finale. And I will have to turn it over to Josh because I have not watched The Office, like, really much. Well, I tried to watch it, but it didn't work.
Okay. Well, this was the big double episode finale for Dunder Mifflin trying to find a replacement for Michael Scott.
And this was the all-star cast.
This was the all-star cast, all-star cameos. I can't be certain they had, like, this really short one where they're just, like, talking to this guy for, like, maybe a minute. And I think it was Warren Buffett. Don't quote me on that, but it certainly kind of looked like him. But some of the actors that they did bring in to play some of the bigger interviewees were James Spader, Ray Romano... and Catherine Tate.
How did Catherine Tate look?
She was great.
Did you want, just like, she's the boss I want.
I want her to be the one, even though, like, she was, she's a friend of Joe, who is Kathy Bates' character, who is, like, the big owner of the company now.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one that Joe brought in, so she has, like, that sort of momentum behind her. But she really just sort of struck me as, like, a British female version of Michael Scott. And only Catherine Tate can pull that off, and it'll be good. Oh, and also, Ricky Gervais came back as David Brent.
Wait, who's David Brent?
He's the Michael Scott character from the British Office.
Right, I knew he was in the Office. I didn't realize he had a different name.
Yeah.
Okay, so he basically was playing his
He was playing himself, and all he had was, like, a recorded computer YouTube video that he did.
He was showing them that he could be the boss?
Yeah, and it was like... It was very dark, very cynical.
Well, I have a question, mainly because when I was on looking for news, I saw that he basically on Twitter just slammed the finale.
Yeah, he kind of did.
So, but do you agree or disagree? He basically said, if you're going to jump the shark, jump a really big shark.
I thought it was okay. Like, I mean, this was all about them, like, trying to find a new manager, and, like, the whole big thing was... last week, Dwight was acting manager for like a week or a month or so. But at one point, he's walking around with a gun, and the gun accidentally goes off. So he gets kicked out, and this whole episode, he's trying to get back in. Like, he's trying to, like, make everybody he's trying to convince everybody that was a one-time thing. It'll never happen again. I learned my lesson. Shooting a gun is not that big a deal anyway.
Well, I think, though, that Ricky Gervais, who was the original creator of The Office, if...
But I feel like he's sort of had a low opinion of the show for a while anyway.
Yeah.
But, like...
But, I mean, it's still his baby and his vision from originally, so seeing it all, like, twisted, he's going to take it a little more personally.
Yeah. My my personal hope is that Catherine Tate will be the new boss.
Of course. Because
she will be awesome. And then, like, there was... Throughout the whole episode, they're talking about this one guy who was, like, supposed to be in the Finger Lakes or something like that. Like,
okay.
Who was coming in for an interview, but they never, like, really show him. And then at the very end, they finally show him, and he's played by Jim Carrey.
Ah.
And
but Jim Carrey's not going to be the boss.
No, Jim Carrey's not going to be the boss. But it was kind of funny just seeing him play, like, this really, really dorky guy for, like, one scene.
Well, he's done that before.
Yeah, but it was still cool. It was still cute. Like... I would give it a thumbs up because it was fun. It has a lot of potential to bring in something new for next season, which by God they need.
All right, so wrapping that up. Yeah. The next thing we want to talk about is Big Bang. So the Big Bang finale. Well, no, it's not the finale. I think we have one more.
Okay.
It had a lot of stuff in it. In that, I like the. Switching of... Oh! Because Leonard and Priya were having bad Star Trek sex. No, it was inaccurate Star Trek sex.
Inaccurate Star Trek sex.
Not Wallowitz. What's his name?
Raj.
Raj was like, I can't stay here, which I would agree with him on.
Yeah.
So he tries to go to different places, ends up at Sheldon's, and he has to sign his own roommate agreement. And what's great about it is once he realizes that he's into the roommate agreement... Then he goes all in, and he's like...
and he really does it up well.
Yeah, he's like, what you were doing before was eating. He's like, this is dining. It's like, what?
And I love Sheldon was like, wow, I didn't realize just how much I was underselling this.
Oh, that was great. And then, of course, the big elephant in the room, which was Penny and Raj having their drunken sex, which hurt my brain.
Which I knew was coming as soon as they started drinking wine together.
Yeah, I saw it coming, but I was hoping that something would happen and derail it. I was or maybe they got close and might have kissed and that was it. But no, we go all the way to the shameful details and the walk of shame in the morning.
And the walk of shame, and everybody's there to see it.
Well, it's not a walk of shame if at least some people aren't there to see it. So,
but also the one person who they didn't want to know about it was right there, Leonard.
It's like, this is not what it looks like. And Sheldon's like, what does it look like?
poor Leonard, because he had just gone through basically Priya breaking up with him.
Right.
Because...
Well, he broke up with her, but he broke up with her for a reason. Because she wasn't serious.
She wasn't serious, and like it finally came out that she wasn't going to tell her parents about him, and she was going back to India next week.
So he realized that she was never serious about it.
Right.
So then he was like, what the heck, what are we doing? And so he breaks up with her and everything, which I was waiting for, and that's all good.
Yeah.
And so now you have the awkwardness of... I don't know what that was. It's awkward, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, like, as she's drunk, she's like, I've always wanted Leonard. And then she sleeps with Raj. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
They broke the bro rule, too.
Yeah, really. And then there's the story with Wallowitz and Bridget, and how Bridget gets her doctorate and gets this fantastic job, and now Wallowitz is sort of becoming a trophy husband to her.
I think it's more everyone else telling him that than the actual reality of it.
Right, but then she gives him a watch, a really expensive watch, and he's like, oh my God, it's happening.
Yeah, but I think he needs to calm down.
This is Wallowitz we're talking about here.
I know, but I'm like, dude, you're not going to get a better girlfriend. It's not going to happen.
No, this is very true.
So I'm like, don't let that go. Mm-hmm. But of course he's going to screw it up, I'm sure.
Of course.
All right, next, we're going to talk about the two-part, well, it's not really two-part. How about double episodes of Supernatural to the finale?
Okay.
Allison?
I love the very end of it, which kind of made me go, whoa. But up to that, I don't know. I was sort of expecting more.
I'm with you.
I think the first one was better than the second one.
Absolutely,
because
yes.
The first one I was invested in. I wanted to know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the whole
thing with Lisa and Ben finally comes full circle.
Right, mm-hmm. and kidnapping them. And there was that moment when Castiel's like, I'll go find them for you as long as you let this go. And he goes, dude, that was what...
That was exactly what Crowley told me.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, man.
And when, you just realize how far down the rabbit hole he's gone.
Well, the thing is when Castiel was like all tearing up and trying to talk to him about it, I was kind of feeling for Castiel.
I was feeling for him too.
And then he gets all the way to the end and he's like, I'll do it, but I need you to do this for me. And I was like, oh, man. And he's actually the moment... where I realized that he was kind of irredeemable, because I was the whole time I'm like, it's okay, we can still fix this.
Yeah, you know? I know, right?
There was when the Bobby's girlfriend is all gutted, and she was like, I could have resisted the demon, but once the angel came, I was screwed, and I was like,
And that was like, I mean, this she was not a threat.
No, she
was the opposite of a threat, and he killed her anyway.
Yeah,
and I have to say, like, just aside from all that, I love that after 6 years they finally bring H.P. Lovecraft into it.
that was a nice little touch, and they had people reading stuff and I liked how
they opened it with really kind of a tribute to the Haunter in the Dark,
right?
Which is probably one of my favorite stories of his, because it really, really freaked me out when I read it.
See, the only thing is I kept thinking, they can't have killed H.P. Lovecraft, because if they had, he would have gone back to his typewriter and written, "It's coming for me, it's coming for me." Ah!
That's hilarious. But I mean, I think the first episode was pretty good. The only thing is I didn't like the memory wipe. I thought that
I didn't like it, but I knew it had to happen.
Yeah, same here.
I feel like they basically...
It was kind of inevitable.
Yeah.
I understand that the whole Ben and Lisa thing was a bad idea, but the thing that irritated me about it is not... Wiping their memory actually doesn't save them. Them knowing that monsters exist protects them more than not knowing. So... I actually think he put them in more danger, because monsters are still going to know that Dean cares about them regardless. The only way that would have worked if he had gotten his memory wiped of them, and if he felt nothing for them, then sure, there's no reason to take them hostage. But if he still loves them, you still take them hostage.
That's
it doesn't
true.
Matter if they remember him or not. He didn't do anything that actually helped protect them. The only thing he did was... She regretted meeting him because it endangered them. Mm-hmm. So now he's wiped that from her memory, so she doesn't have that regret. That's all fine and good. But now they don't know not to invite stuff in the house. They don't
know to
get rock salt. They don't know to have a shot. Like, they are now stripped of all their defenses, and I think he actually endangered them more. So that was why I was irritated.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, he should have wiped himself too.
I think realistically you're right. But I think that as far as the show is concerned, that, you know, they were doing this so that they could wrap up their storyline, and we're really not going to hear from Ben and Lisa again.
I understand that. It was a bad idea, and so now they're erasing that bad idea.
Right.
I get that. But my thing is, if you come up with a bad idea, wiping their memory is not a way to wrap it up. I think that's a cheat, and I think it's not good writing. So I was a bit disappointed in that. But I still thought that was a stronger episode than the second one, because a lot of stuff happened and they went through all that to save each other. And I like the fact that if he was going to wipe anything from Ben, it would be him killing someone.
Right, yeah.
So because that looked like I traumatized the kid a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, he's going to need therapy. But I actually had this one moment when he was like wielding the shotgun and doing all this stuff. I was like, are they going to, like, next season be training? Like, I thought the mom might die and they have to train him. I thought that might have been cool, but no. Anyway.
By the second episode, you know, the whole thing with Sam and breaking down the wall in his mind and all of that.
Which, like, I have to say, like, I was watching it. I was like, okay, so now it's The Bourne Identity. Okay, so now it's Inception. Okay, so now it's Highlander?
Oh, yeah, there could be only one, right?
There could only be one.
I thought that, too, when the energy came. I was very Highlander. But I actually, once I realized that the whole Sam not remembering anything was actually all in his mind and none of that was real, I was like, can we get back to the real world? I don't like this.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I realized it wasn't the real world, I was bored.
Yeah.
And
because, the stakes suddenly are not as high.
Exactly.
They're not high at all.
Yeah.
They're not high. And, like, everything that's going on in the real world has huge stakes.
Right.
It's like, can we get to that already?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's napping in Bobby's safe room.
Right. And I was like, boring. Get out of, like, I cannot believe this is the finale.
You know, also, the only stakes that there would have been is that, you know, supposedly he would have been psychologically flayed if he did remember. And then he does remember, and he's not psychologically flayed.
Well,
he's had better days. But
they showed
rolling on the floor, you know, foaming at the mouth.
Well, no, but he's obviously, he was having problems just walking down the street.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, when he stabs Castiel at the end, you can see he's still not got it all together.
Right. So he is struggling. But I didn't care about any of the stuff going on in his, once you figure out it's in his mind, I was like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's like,
and
we can move on now.
Yeah, and that was a very, very bad thing to have happen in the finale. That was awful.
Yeah.
But the real world stuff was pretty good. Like,
I thought it was cool when Castiel basically just, like, reneges on his whole
deal with
Crowley.
Yeah, he's like, I'd like to renegotiate, in that you did nothing.
Which, as soon as he said, I'd like to renegotiate, I'm like, oh, he's going to screw Crowley.
Well, and I actually was like, all right, that's actually pretty good. He's like, why would I give power to the demon? I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay. And he's like, how stupid do you think I am? I was like, all right.
It makes sense.
It all makes sense. That's all good. And then I was like, why is he sitting around?
But then Crowley is not going to take that line
down.
Well,
and that's the thing, is he knew that.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, he pulled the Superman. He was like, you do your spell in here, and then it affects me out there. And I was like, oh, he tricked them. But what I didn't realize was that he did the spell himself somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
So, because I figured, I was like, oh, he gave, because I realized that he knew that they were going to do that.
Right.
Like, as soon as he disappeared, it's like, oh, there's no way Castiel would have left without a fight. He would have died if he really thought that that was what was going to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, once he did that, I was like, okay, there's another plan. He's got another plan. I was like, he's going to redeem himself. No.
He did the exact opposite of redeeming himself.
And that was awesome, because it was like, because he has like this weird kind of crazy man aura going on around him. And
kinda?
And then Sam is like he's talking to a rabbit dog. He's like, oh, it's okay. We're still friends, right? We're all right. You know, he's like,
We're cool. Like,
yeah.
All that stuff I said about you going to hell, I didn't mean it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was all like talking. Because once he did the snap with Raphael, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Actually, the fact that he was even cold enough to kill Balthazar.
Yeah.
Oh, that was even before he got the power, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But you figure he had to be that far gone to do that then, and then you put all that power inside him.
Uh-huh.
He's
gone.
Moonville now. Oh,
yeah.
He's way gone.
He's way off the rails, as they say.
But there was like a moment when like they're all like trying to talk him down. I'm like, you do realize you are now trying to talk down God, right?
Because he has, all his powers. And then when Sam stabbed him, I was like, they're not going to kill Castiel. They're not going to kill Castiel. And then he, of course, doesn't die. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's bad.
Yeah.
They're going to kill him. That's bad. He didn't die. That's worse.
No, that was like, oh, no. And then he's like, I am no longer an angel. I am your Lord, and you will worship me. And I was like, Oh no!
It's like, yeah, Castiel's cool and all, but I don't want him as God.
No. And I was like,
I'm sitting here. Actually, I have to admit, I was skimming the web, and I came across something on TV Line, which is kind of bizarre under the circumstances, but it's saying that Misha Collins will not be returning as a series regular for season 7.
Well, he's now God.
Yeah.
You can't have God just showing up every episode.
I mean, yeah, they're the Winchesters, but they're not that special.
Yeah, it's... But I don't know what they're going to do. Well, because they've made his character irredeemable. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
And now, because he can't hang out with them. You can't trust him anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Though they've done it to Sam. They made Sam irredeemable, but then they've redeemed him. So there's that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what you do with him. They've painted him into a pretty serious corner at this point.
Yeah. Well, it's like, the only thing they can do now is they have to...
kill him.
They have to find Crowley. They have to team up with Crowley.
Crowley's nowhere near strong enough to fight him.
But he's also the only one who could possibly do anything.
First of all, Crowley couldn't take Cassiel before he had all that power.
Yeah.
So why would he... Crowley's like, peace, dude. I'm hanging out in my...
Well, then the other one is go back into the cage and get Lucifer.
Oh, I have no idea what they're... Oh, they need Michael. Actually, that's what they need. They need Michael.
Yeah.
They need to find some way to actually drain the power from him.
Yeah.
Which apparently the only way that works is if you blow up the world.
They could redeem him by draining the power from him and having him come back to his senses. Or they could actually bring the power to Critical like a nuke and have him blow up.
But he blows up the world when he does that.
Well, depending on where they put him at the time.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to put you on Mars and then just, like, juice you up.
I don't know what they're going to do, but I like it when you have an ending and you're like, I have no clue what the heck. And then when he's like, you will kneel before me and worship me. And I was like, is this on a time limit or do we have to kneel, like, right now? Like,
yeah.
I'll bet you on that.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming, I have to say. So, there's that. But now I have no idea how they're going to get out of it. So.
Yeah.
But I love Castiel. You can't make him go away.
I know. I'm really not happy about Cast at all.
I want my nice Castiel back.
Like, this is the guy who I saw on drugs and whoring it up in an alternate universe.
And I still loved him.
And now he's God. I don't like that.
Oh, man.
Stop, Cass. I don't like you anymore.
All right.
You're a bad god.
Let's wrap this up. You said you had a final comment on something else entirely, Allison?
I did?
It was about some show.
Was it Treme we were talking about?
No, it wasn't Treme, although watch it.
No, it was...
That's brilliant.
It was Camelot.
Oh, Camelot. Yeah, don't watch that.
Don't watch it.
I've watched it so you don't have to.
I got 4 episodes in and couldn't take it anymore.
All right.
It's one of those things where I have no idea why I keep watching this show because I sit in front of the screen every week going, oh, this is stupid. This is so stupid. This is the stupidest thing I've ever watched. And yet somehow I keep watching it.
I was the same way, just watching it. Like, why am I watching this? Why am I watching this?
Yeah, it's like, I feel like I'm watching Heroes again. It's like, this is awful. This is stupid. This is bad. And I keep tuning in and watching it anyway.
Yeah, but unlike Heroes, I stopped watching.
All right. That was supposed to be a quick comment.
Sorry.
Wrapping up. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you guys know the drill, if you have any comments, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @tvcampfire, and we're on Facebook. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.